The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Hey, super. Thank you, ladies, for that. Take your Bible, if you will, and go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and look at verse 6. The book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Well, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The Bible says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I want to speak this morning on God's Christmas gift to the world. God's Christmas gift to the world. You know, there was a radio broadcaster by the name of Paul Harvey. And as a teenager, he became very popular. He had a radio station that he spoke on there in Oklahoma. And people just were drawn to his style of being able to announce. A matter of fact, his broadcast became very popular as he would introduce his broadcast that carried for over 30 years called The Rest of the Story. And what he would do is he would take that story that he was trying to tell, and he would just give you bits and pieces about the story. And then he would announce, and for the rest of the story, then he would fill in all the blanks about the story and to give it, if you would please, a grand, if you will, entrance, but a grander, if you would please, exit as he would fill in all of the story. And so as we see here, we see in our Bible, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." As we think of the Christ child, as we think of Jesus Christ, as we think of Emmanuel, as we think of that which is Christ, the only begotten of the Father, being born in the city of Bethlehem, in a stable, if you will, we would think perhaps that this would be just a marvelous story about a baby. This is more than just a baby in which we speak. This is the very Son of God. This is the Christ child. This is the only begotten of the Father. Therefore, we give reverence to whom reverence is absolutely 100% due as we respectfully call our time of being able to come together and to celebrate the birth of the King of Kings as Christmas here in the U.S. And we understand the significance of that. So almost like Paul Harvey, if you would, that would give the introduction to that which is about to unfold into a grand story, we can learn about Jesus Christ. Because inside of Jesus Christ is more than just that which is a babe born in a manger. Inside of Jesus Christ is all of the Godhead. Inside of Jesus Christ is all that God gave us in his only begotten Son. I don't know about you, but I love my children. I love my dear my wife. I've often said that we have guns in our house. We do, and we'll continue to have them. And I often said if somebody breaks in my house, I'll make sure they leave holy because I'm a preacher. But I will protect my family. And I love the family that God has given me. I love to be able to watch over them. I love to be able to meet their needs. It's a joy to me as a dad. It's a joy to me as a husband to be able to find out things that my wife, I remember one time my wife was walking past a store, and I have told the story before, and I'd carry 3x5 cards with me. I learned it from a preacher years ago, and so I carry 3x5 cards with me. Matter of fact, my kids have often said, "Daddy, what do you want for Christmas?" And I said, "Just give me some 3x5 cards, and I'll be happy." And I carry 3x5 cards with me everywhere I go, and even though I use the cell phone now for other purposes and whatnot, but I'll just jot some stuff down on the 3x5 card. I started that many years ago, and one day I was walking past a store, and my wife kind of looked over, and she saw a ring, and she liked that ring, and I thought, I'm going to save up, and I'm going to get her that ring. And I'd given her a wedding ring many years prior, but this was going to be a special, special gift that I could save up and give. And I remember those years saving up money, boy, and I didn't want to put it in the bank because it would show up on her statements. And then she'd say, "Well, you know, why are you putting that extra money in the bank?" And so I didn't want to do that. And so I found an old pair of tennis shoes. And I put them up in the closet, just praying that one day she would not look up there and say, those old raggedy things, I'm just going to throw them out. And so I had stuffed money in there and stuffed money in there and stuffed money in there. And I saved up and I saved up and I saved up so that one day I could give her that special gift that she wanted to have. You know, something about Christmas and giving special things to people that you love. There's just something about Christmas when you find out that somebody wants something, you find out that somebody really desires to have something. If you have the means without going into debt to be able to get that and to be able to, I said that and it got real quiet. All the air went out of the room. When I said without going into debt, everybody just, oh, all the air is gone. But without going into debt, being able to meet people's needs that you love and that you care for. And I think a lot of that we got from our Heavenly Father, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we have picked up some of the very attributes of our Heavenly Father. For those of you that are saved and for those of you that name the name of Christ, you understand what it is to be able to give. And we can identify with God who gave His only begotten Son. But what did it mean for Him to give His only begotten Son? We're not talking about just coming to church to be able to enjoy a religious time together. There's more to it than coming to church and just becoming religious. It's more to it than just coming to church, if you will, please, and hearing the songs. There's more to it than just coming to church and smiling at a neighbor or a friend or a family loved one and being able to recognize them and to thank them for coming on the special day to make it a special day for you. So what is it that is so important? What stands out so much about this gift that is called Christ? What stands out so much about this time of year? We know about the crackling fireplaces, and they're wonderful. We know about the stockings that hang over the mantle of the fireplace, and that's wonderful. We know about all the gifts, and some have already, or many perhaps, have already been open, and gifts have been shared, and love has been given, and that is wonderful. We know about the time of having the special meals where everybody gets to enjoy, but dear mom, she just has to sacrifice, and she gets up early in the morning, and she stays up late at night, sacrificing to make that wholesome meal so that everybody can come down to the house and sit around for about 30 minutes or so and gobble everything down that took her about 6 hours to make. And so we know about those times of coming together for fellowship and the sacrifice that's involved. And some of you, like us, we shop all year long. We don't wait till Christmas time. We shop all year long, and we know a loved one that wants this. We'll try and find it the best sale that we can find somewhere down the road and try to purchase that. And then we put it aside. It may be 3 months before Christmas getting here. It might be 4 months before Christmas getting here. Sometimes it's 12 months before Christmas getting here, but we'll shop for our loved ones and for our friends. We try to do all year long. But this Christmas gift that God gave us is so special. This Christmas gift is more than just a babe lying in a manger, but His only beloved Son. Let me give you some things about what God has done for us. Statement number one, God's gift for man is the most expensive gift one could ever give to another. The most expensive gift that one could ever give to another. We were out shopping the other day, and Rebecca pointed something out, and she said, you know, I've been wanting something like that for years. And so I looked at my dear wife, and she looked at me, and I gave her the nod of affirmative, and she gave me the nod of appreciating the affirmative and agreeing also. And so we were able to get her something that she really liked. My father-in-law, oh, I'm so glad. You know, I'm going to tell on him just a little bit, but man, he wanted a cowboy hat. Amen. And so I wanted so much, and we kind of argued about it because, and it's good to argue with your father-in-law sometimes, especially if you know you can win. But we argued, and he got the hat, and I said, okay, Dad, let me buy that. And he said, oh, no, Mike, let me just buy that, and you kids need to take care of yourself. And I said, no, but you're here for us, and we're here for you. And we kind of went back and forth. And so finally, his daughter was able to persuade him, amen, And she's able to persuade me a lot too, but was able to persuade him. And we're able to buy that nice cowboy hat that he wanted. Now, I'm saying this. It makes you feel special on the inside when you're able to give sacrificially, or when you're able to give, if you would please, out of the depth of love, or you're able to give out of plentifulness. It's not necessarily how much you have or how much you don't have. It's the fact that you want to give something special because it is from your heart. Amen. It is from your heart. You know, to watch our children and for me to watch my wife is, I found out some things she wanted to get this year and to make that happen. Can I tell you, the fullness of joy happens inside of our hearts when we give to that one that we love, that one that is dear to us. It's not all about you getting. It should be more so all about you giving. We understand that God's gift is the most expensive gift that one could ever give, as he gave his only begotten son. Can you imagine what Christmas would be like if there was no Christ in the center of Christmas? Can I submit to you, there wouldn't be a Christmas. Can I submit to you, there wouldn't even be the time of seasons. You don't realize the lights and do a historical search on it and about the evergreen tree and about the lights and so many other things. And you're going to see that it is a tie in to Christ as that which is a picture of what Christ has done for us. Years ago, there was a famous pen that was made. It was made of gold and it had diamonds. It was a fountain pen. And it was put out by the very prestigious company that was called the Fraber-Castell Pens. And so they're known all over the world for putting out some extravagant pens. This is the most expensive pen they ever put out. It's worth $97,000. And so they put out this most expensive pen, and the person that bought the pen said, I don't want to use the pen because I might ruin the pen. I just want to buy the pen to have the pen because I want the pen to be mine. And so that pen sits in this personal man's library, if you will, and it's encased, and so he can go by and he can look at that, and that was a very expensive gift. But his children also wanted him to have the gift, and so they wanted to chip in, though they did not need to chip in, and he certainly did not need them to chip in, but they wanted to chip in because they wanted to have a part. And that's what Christmas reminds us of as we point people to the Christ child, as we point people to the Savior of the world, because we want them to have a part in understanding who Jesus Christ really is. And what a joy it is to be able to point our friends and our loved ones to that one that shed his blood on Calvary, yes, after he was born, yes, after he lived and fulfilled the mission that God had for him to fulfill for 33 years, and yes, laying himself down on the cross to sacrificially die for all humanity's sins. But you can thank God that God gave us the most expensive gift that a person could ever give. Statement number one. Statement number two, God's gift to man is free. Now, I love that. I am so glad that a person does not have to work their way to heaven. I'm so glad the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm so glad the Bible teaches where it says, for by grace are you saved. You're saved by grace. Just that alone would help us to understand that I'm getting that which I do not deserve, which is heaven. The Bible talks about that gift is a gift that God gives, the gift of God. Now, a person can choose to receive that gift or not receive that gift, but that gift is freely given. If somebody gives you a gift, a Christmas gift, as we're illustrating this morning, you don't have to go get a job to pay for that, and you don't have to go to try and work to earn funds in order to be able to pay for that. That gift is completely free. And that gift that is completely free was given by God so that you and I, through Christ, his only begotten Son, could have eternal life. And so the gift is an expensive gift. The gift is a free gift. Romans chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came unto all men, it says, to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all on two justification of life. And that one is Jesus Christ. You and I in our self-proclaimed righteousness cannot be able to merit heaven, but the righteousness of God whereby we can have redemption. We can have forgiveness and be able to go to heaven. Some of you know the Charles Dickens Christmas story called The Christmas Carol. There's Ebenezer. They call him Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer, by the way, is a Bible name. If you'll look it up, it simply means this. It means stone of help. Now, how could a stone be of help? Well, just like in the story, The Christmas Carol, how there was a man that had a stone heart, later became a help. You know, God can reach into that which is the most hardened life of all and be able to change that person so that that person, if you would please, would not be stoneful anymore, but would be somebody that would become helpful. Now, can I tell you that God is the one that can do that? There was a husband and wife that wrote a book. His name is Kent. Her name is Barbara. Their last name is Hughes. And as they wrote the book on family structure, they said this, that every Christian family should have a consciousness awareness of the measure of which our culture and our tradition is, but not let that stand against that which is the culture and the tradition that is found in the Bible. Always create in your family a spiritual memory with spiritual traditions so that your children can long look after you're gone and remember those spiritual things that you put in their lives. Isn't that good? And so it ought not just be a tradition whereby we went to see lights last night. We piled 11 people piled in my Suburban. Man, it was good. We got to smell each other all the way. And we got down and we drove through and we saw the lights and we had a wonderful time to be able to see those Christmas lights. Now, two of those were a little bitty babies. They didn't take up much room. But we went down and we saw the Christmas lights as we drove through different areas and stuff like that. Now, that's a memory. That's a memory. But can I tell you a greater memory that we created last night? And that is as the family were singing Christmas carols as we drove. As we were going through and seeing different lights, we raised our voices and we were singing all sorts of Christmas songs and stuff like that. And most of them had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's done for you and I. Now, that's a spiritual memory. That's a spiritual memory. And can I say, it ought to be a time when we can create some spiritual memories together. By the way, you're listening to me. Here you are on a Sunday morning service on Christmas Day. You can't tell me that your children will not remember that. Probably some of your children got up this morning and said, "Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. We're going to go to church on Christmas. Yay!" Probably not. Probably not. Probably the way it was is you said, "Guess what we're going to do?" And maybe you kind of prepared their hearts a little bit last night. And you said, "Guess what we're going to do? We're going to go to church on Christmas." And probably your children had more of a response like this. "Are you kidding?" You know, simply because that's not the mindset of many children. But can I tell you, as we help them to be able to understand the importance of things in their early life, in their early years of life, it carries over into their, and you, can I tell you, this is not going to be the only day that is Christmas on a Sunday. See, years from now, perhaps when they have children, perhaps when those children are coming up, they're going to be able to say, "Hey, guess what we're going to do?" And they're going to remember their response when you said the very same thing. But you will be able to have a part in that decision because you made a right decision today. You know, I'm saying to help them to be able to make, and us individually to make some spiritual decisions. God gave us His very best. Statement number one. Statement number two, God gave us the gift, and the gift that He gave us is free. Statement number three, the gift that He gave us is personal. 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 You know, many times in our church, we have people that like to love other people. And many times in our church, here's what you see on a Sunday night. And if you come here Sunday night, you're familiar with seeing this many times more than not. But on a Sunday night, you'll see a gift up here. It has somebody's name on it. Sometimes a Sunday school class will give a gift to somebody. Sometimes an individual will give a gift to somebody. Sometimes it's a birthday gift that's put up here. Sometimes it's an anniversary gift. Sometimes it's just a friendship gift. You just care about a friend, and so you'll buy them a gift, and you'll put it up on the platform, and it's special to be able to hand those out and have the staff and different helpers to be able to deliver those. And that's just something we do in our church, and to be able to show other people that we love people. To be able to help other people, to be able to see that, hey, you know, the Christian life is not, it is truly about giving. It is truly about loving people. You know, we run our buses. We have, I think I counted yesterday, 11 or 12 buses that's out there, and we don't run them all. I think we only run 8 routes, I believe, at this time, but and we're replacing some buses and stuff like that. But you know, when we run those buses, today we're giving out Christmas stockings to all the children that are riding those buses. You know, some of those kids that are riding those buses, they're not going to get one gift. They're not going to get anything except for what they get on the bus today when they rode in, and they'll get that Christmas stocking today. That'd be the only Christmas gift they get, period. And it'd be from you that gave. And the other day, we took Christmas bags out because we knew some families that was on the bus routes, they were not going to have a Christmas meal. I mean, they just don't. They just didn't have the food. And so our bus captains found out different ones that was on the route, and we collected enough food to be able, and the bus captains and the workers went out, and they gave food to people to be able to eat so that they could have some type of meal. All right. Now, wait a minute. Watch that. What is that? That is giving. That is giving. Sometimes I think that we think, well, you know, I've got to give. So, you know, sometimes, do you understand that maybe just giving somebody a note, maybe just giving somebody a letter, you know, maybe just giving somebody just a small token of appreciation. My grandfather gave me several things years ago, the one that raised me for the first couple years of my life. And one of the things he gave me was an old World War II Army ammo box that came down by parachute. He fought in World War II, and it was delivered by a parachute. Another thing he gave me was took a gun off of a German and brought it back, or something like that. But anyway, it wound up in his hand, and he gave me a gun, and it's an old German gun, and he gave me that. Now I don't know if it works or not, but it's there, and I can look at that old gun. See, I got that old ammo box. And an old wooden ammo box, and I've got that old thing, and just got that thing, you know. And but maybe his daddy took it off of the German. I don't know, but I've got that, and I remember that, and it was given to me as a precious gift. My daddy gave me a sword. He said, "This is the family sword. It's got the family crest on it." He says, "Been in our family for a long time." He said, "And you can have this sword." And he gave me the sword. Now, can I tell you, I have kept that thing all over the years. And when my wife and I get in an argument, we pull out our swords and we go at it. And she always wins. But I've kept that old family sword. Now, I will pass it down to somebody and when we pass. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that those things are special, not because of necessarily they're worth a lot, but just because of who gave it. Just because of who gave it. I used to travel to Baltimore City, Maryland many times during the year. And I'd travel down, and I'd treat my daddy to Maxwell House Coffee. He loved that coffee. He's like Brother Wislowski. And my daddy got saved too, by the way. And he loved that coffee. And I'd go down to Maxwell House Coffee place, and I'd buy him a Maxwell House Coffee. And I'd go over to Maryland National Bank, and I would sit there. And oftentimes, my daddy would say more than this, more than that. He would say, "Michael, it just means so much for me just to have you to drive 45 minutes down here during a lunch break and spend 15 minutes with me. 15 minutes. He said, 15 minutes is worth the world to me." See, so I'm saying that here we see God gave the most expensive gift. God gave a gift that was free, and God gave a gift that's personal, personal. He gave his son so that you and I could have eternal life. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." He gave his only begotten Not only that, we see this, but here we see that this gift that God gave us is eternal. Eternal. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, it is for all eternity. Now, I don't know about you, but when you give somebody something that is eternal, it is far more valuable than that which is just giving them another year of 365 days. Just giving them another year, if you would please, of 24 hours in a day, or 1,440 minutes in a day, or 86,400 seconds in that which is that particular day. Did you know, I'm telling you this, I'm saying that God gives you more than that. You know, and we ought to be able to take what God has given us that is eternal, and I love this, and share it.
Amen.
And share it. David Lee took the gospel and he gave it to me and he shared it. And as he shared it, it changed my life. Somebody took my dear wife one day, before she ever met me, and she was a little girl, and shared the gospel there in the house, and she bowed her heart and she received Christ as Savior. And when somebody gives the gospel out for all eternity, it changes somebody. It changes somebody. I had an aunt that lived to be old. And she lived to be, I think it was 102, 103. She loved softball. Now, she wouldn't run to the bases. But she was playing softball still at age 85 and 87. I hope I've got her genes. Amen. But she was playing softball. Now, can I tell you, she lived to be way over 100. And can I tell you that when she took her last breath, her next breath was going to be in eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. And I'm so glad that there was a day that somebody took the Bible and showed me my need of receiving Christ. Let me give you this, and I'm done. You must accept that gift. You must accept that gift. When God gives you a gift, you have the right to either accept or to reject that gift. Now, I would plead with you this morning to accept that gift of eternal life that you find in Jesus Christ. I was down at the hospital just the other day. I was making a visit, and I talked to a person down there, and I gave him a track on the elevator, Just gave him a track, and they worked there at the hospital, a nurse, and gave him a track at the hospital. And when I gave him a track, they began to look at it, and they said, "This is pretty neat." I said, "Yeah, that's pretty neat." And they got off, and they kept looking at it. I followed them then, because I thought, they got time enough to read it. They must have time enough for me to explain it. And so I hopped off with them. And I didn't know where I was, but I hopped off with them. And I got off with them, and I said, "Look, you look like you're more interested in that than the common person that I give that out to. Why are you so interested?" And here's what she said. She said, "I lost my daddy this year. My daddy was a Christian." Here's what she said. "My daddy was a Christian, and my daddy told me about Christ, but I never completely understood it." I said, "Well, I think I could help you with that if you'd like me to." You know, and took the time to be able to show her need of Christ. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that eternal gift that God gives, it would change your life forever when you accept that gift. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." John Newton, and I'll close, wrote the song called "Amazing Grace." Amazing Grace. You know, before he got saved, he's a wicked man. He was a person that would buy slaves and he would sell them, and was a hard, hard man, as he would sentence people to a lifetime of bondage. But after he got saved, God changed his life forever. And in the memoirs that he wrote, he said this. He says, "By nature, I was blind to Christ. I was too proud to trust him. I was somebody that was just deciding I never wanted to serve him." He said, "I had a base of mind that was absolutely wrong in my love for him. But after conversion of receiving Christ, my life changed forever." Now, this is the man that God used to write the hymn "Amazing Grace." See, it's one thing. I have several friends that are authors. They write books. I've got one dear friend. He's written I guess about 60 books or so. I've got another one. He's written, I guess, about 40, 42, I think he told me at last point. And a couple of other friends, they're authors, they write books. And I love to be able to read their books, but can I tell you, I love to be able to know them, because now when I read their books, they take on a deeper connotation. They take on a deeper meaning, because I know them and I know their life. I know their structure. I know the things that they've gone through. And so you can call it reading between the lines, if you will, or if you maybe reading the whole story, knowing the person. And see, that's how it is with Christ. When we receive Christ as Savior, now you get to know the whole story, because the Bible says that the Word of God is spiritually discerned. So it's like when you get saved and you receive Christ as Savior, here's what happens. He becomes your private interpreter. He becomes your private tutor. Now when you read it, you're not reading it as, well, let's see, that's what that says right there, and the facts only. No. No, you're getting to read them, and they're very personal letters. Years ago, my wife went on a mission trip, and she went with some missionaries on a mission trip, and I decided that I wanted to write her some letters. I couldn't write her letters, because by the time that I sent her the letters to this other part of the country, that she'd receive them, or maybe not, because she'd be home before she got them. I didn't want to take the chance. And so I got a spiral-bound notebook, and I wrote her letters. I wrote her letters every day. Every day I wrote her letters. How much I love you, and how much you mean to me. And I just filled one page after another page after another page after another page, 40-some pages, and I just filled those pages. And then when she came back, I handed her that spiral little book, and I gave it to her. You know, she still has it today. And now it's yellowed a little bit, but the words still mean the same. Can I tell you, when God gave us His Son and recorded it in the Bible, can I tell you the words have never changed? And they still mean the same. The same way your grandfather got saved, the same way your grandmother got saved, the same way your mommy or dad got saved. Can I tell you, that's the same way you receive Christ today. The same way that they live for God is the same way you ought to live for God today. And can I tell you that by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, He changes your life forever. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.